What's up, Fandom Night, Episode 10, Sario Speaks Fair Use.
Hey guys, what's up? It's your old buddy Sario here. Well, full introduction, Seth Sario level. But regardless, today I want to bring up something that we haven't done in a very long time. Back when we were Reploid Productions, there was a show that we used to run that was referred to as I Have Spoken. Now, when it comes down to I Have Spoken, there was really only a handful of people that did it, and it was essentially like personal opinions on stuff. Like, anybody who listens to Legacy of Gaming will know that Nick did a review of Final Fantasy IV, the complete collection for the PSP. Now, when he did this, even though it was for the gaming section, it still counted as an I Have Spoken. There are several up on YouTube, if you look up Reploid Productions, of some of the old stuff we did way back in the day. I'm talking like way back in the day, like 6-7 years ago type of thing. Now, most of these have been outdated type of thing. You know, it was essentially like viewpoints from everybody. But essentially, I took this show, moved it to my own channel, because, like I said, I'd been one of the only people doing it other than, like, Nick and one of our former co-hosts, Spencer Robertson, a.k.a. Kage. Now, of course, you all know Nick is, you know, a kind of a mainstay when he doesn't have to work. And Kage shows up from time to time as, you know, a special guest. So we still get Spencer and Nick in from time to time. But again, I stole the show and put it on my own channel, and I called it Sario Says. Now, the only reason why it is I'm sending this to everybody via podcast format comes down to a matter of we got rid of using YouTube for multiple reasons. And one of the reasons being is YouTube's kind of been a pain in the ass. Like, I really don't want to bring up the elephant in the room, but I'm going to do it anyway. Essentially, for those of you who can't really read and just download our stuff and listen to it or have it set to auto-download and just play it, this is essentially going to cover the Fair Usage Act. Now, generally speaking, this is normal stuff that any jackass, including myself, who I don't have an actual law degree. Like, I have no law degree. I have no experience with the law other than I used to work at a gas station. Working at the gas station, the cops would come in and anything that would come up, I can actually talk to them about it. Because, you know, the police officers where I worked at, they were pretty awesome dudes. Like, no matter how much people want to bitch about, you know, cops overstepping bounds and stuff, and it's bound to happen, but that's a completely different topic for a completely different time that I probably won't even cover. But I'm just saying it's something I might do later on, because everybody always seems to be up in arms about fucking something. Now, when it comes right down to this, again, there's so many things that I might miss, but a lot of it is stuff that any idiot like myself, like I said, without a law degree can look up. There is a thing called Wikipedia. Now, unfortunately, Wikipedia isn't always a trusted site. However, considering the fact that they actually have gone out of their way to, you know, make it a little bit more stable, where the only way that you can really change things is if you're credited with your sources. So if you could say that, oh, well, I read, you know, this book and this book and this book from the Harvard College of Law on the frickin' university website, because I'm thinking that's probably the only place that you might be able to get actual law books other than illegally via PDF by going to some of the torrenting sites and torrenting them. But regardless, like I said, when it comes right down to it, I might not know everything, and if there are questions or concerns about this, there are multiple ways to get a hold of us. In fact, let me take a break right here, and I'll let Bill explain everything for you guys on how to contact us.
Hey guys, I know you're about to get your podcast on, so I'll be quick. If at any time you feel like dropping your own opinion into what we're talking about, head on over to FandomNight.com and all of the contact information for every single one of our shows, including the one you're about to watch, is there. Alright guys, I'll leave you alone.
Okay, so now that you guys understand that so long as you go to the website and everything, there's email links and all sorts of stuff like that, and You can cuss me out for being a complete and total jackass if need be, but essentially what this boils down to is there's been a lot of talk about the Fair Use Act essentially being, what's the kindest way to put this? Essentially it's becoming a bunch of jackassery. Now, why is it becoming jackassery? And I do apologize. Needed to have a cigarette break, because while Bill was doing all that talking, I was refreshing my mind on some of the points I needed to bring up, plus I kind of had to find the notes, in case you didn't hear me ruffling papers here. By the way, that's not a prop. This literally is a notebook that I have filled with a bunch of different notes. So if it sounds like I'm talking weird at times, I'm probably checking my notes. But like I said, it's a lot of reading that you have to do. But essentially, to put this simply, the Fair Use Act was a bill that was proposed way back in the days, if I remember correctly, like 2007, 2010 area. Some around there. Again, brain not work all the way, because me no good at English or remembering. So, regardless, they had released the Fair Use Act. Now, this bill got a lot of controversy. Now, the reason why it got a lot of controversy against it was because the way that they had worded it, the, quote, language that was used in the bill, a lot of different companies, including the MPAA, or essentially the guys in charge of making sure that movies are produced properly, and the RCII, I think, or the RIIC or something. Regardless, it's like the music industry. They're the guys in charge of recording audio for actual releases of, like, CDs. So, like, your music, your stand-up specials, talking audio books, random crap like that. Anything that actually has a publisher backing it that you can go out to a store and buy, like Walmart, or even go online to like an Amazon or anything like that. Literally, those are basically taken care of by either the Motion Picture Association of America or the Recording Institute. But regardless, what they had said is that the language given out in the bill would essentially make it to a point where piracy would be legal, because there's many different loopholes that people could slip into the cracks if they understood this bill properly. Now, here's the problem with this. Sorry, needed a good cigarette break there. There's already loopholes within the original Fair Use Act. The actual act that, The actual act that they use now, the current copyright laws, and I can't think of what it's called right now. Or at least I'm fairly certain. Let me, blah, blah. Okay, no, I guess literally it's just Fair Use. My apologies. But the original Fair Use bill that was put into place, essentially, what it comes down to is it's a matter of, it allows people to use certain words and language when it comes down to specific things. Like, when it comes down to commentary, you can literally have fair use of your own personal commentary over a movie. So think like Mystery Science Theater 3000, or what we do here at Reploid Product. Well, excuse me, that's the old thing, Fandom Night. Okay, now I feel better. It also allows it so that way then you can use specific wording when it comes to searches. See, a long time ago, if you punch something into, like, not even Google, you would normally use, like, Yahoo or Ask Jeeves before they were, well, at least before Yahoo was bought out by Google anyway. But you could, when you punch something in a search, and you would type up, like, George Washington, you know what I mean? Because you have a history report on George Washington, you're trying to look up some stuff. It wouldn't actually pull quotes out of a book on George Washington, except for the fact that now, because of it, you actually kind of can. They figured out that it actually is a part of fair use. You can also use fair use for criticism. Now, once again, for those of you who pay attention to us here at Fandom Night, you understand that we're a bunch of loudmouth jackasses, to put it kindly. We're critics. We like to talk about things. We're fans of things. Currently, I'm looking at my computer monitor because all of my stuff gets hooked through my computer monitor. And currently on the screen is Resident Evil, the title screen for it, the HD reboot that I'm playing currently on my PlayStation 4. Now, why did I pick that? Simply because it's something that I didn't have to pause, because the only other thing would have been Star Wars, and I would have watched it for the 13th time. Because, screw you, the new Star Wars is awesome. So, see, criticism. Now, the other thing that fair use also covers is parody. Now, why is parody important? Well, because parody is a lot of different things. Parody is satire. Now, most people know satire from a program that happens to play on your television, which most of you younger audiences wouldn't know as a television program. You would know it as a television show, but it happens to go by the name of Saturday Night Live. And the way that Saturday Night Live works is they have a bunch of writers that sit down and they write skits and sketches based off things that are going on and make them humorous. Thus, parody. Another thing that happens to be parody is something that me and the guys actually enjoy quite a lot. We enjoy watching videos from Team 4-Star and other abridgers. That some of them aren't exactly affiliated with Team 4-Star, some of them are. But when it comes right down to it, what they do as an abridger is they take the original anime, so the original show that they all love. They love it dearly. They are fans of the show. In particular, like Dragon Ball Z Abridged or Hellsing Ultimate Abridged. And they take these shows and they edit the footage to match a script that they have written that essentially tells the plot of the anime while at the same time poking fun at all of the different logical loopholes through the original plot, like the fact that when the wish is made upon the Dragon Balls to bring back anybody killed by Frieza and his men, technically Nappa should be alive. And because of that, in Team 4-Star's videos of DBZA, Nappa is back to life. He's no longer a ghost Nappa. For anybody who actually gets that reference. At the same time, fair use is also covered by news reports. It's also covered by research. So the fact that I went out of my way to look this shit up and write it all down, in case I haven't beat that fucking horse to death, it's covered. Archiving for library usage is also covered. So if you happen to be at a library and you're looking up, you know, stuff on JFK, and you happen to come across the video of where he gets sadly shot, and I really want to make a terrible joke here, but we're going to let, you know, the dying lay. And like I said, he gets shot. You can actually find the footage of it and watch the footage of it because the library should and will have it archived. And at the same time, it's also used for scholarships when it comes down to fair usage. So if you're attempting to get a scholarship for college or anything along those lines of academia where you need a scholarship or even a grant, because once you get into college, depending upon what your major is and stuff like that, you need to be able to get funding in order to continue, especially if you're doing, you know, science work. So most scientists out there understand the purpose of going out of their way to conduct research, to use other people's findings to help back their research, and sadly they wouldn't be able to use it without fair use. Now, what constitutes fair use? Well, there actually is a balancing test to determine fair use. Now, the first of... Dang it, sorry. Drop my cigarette. Probably a good thing I shouldn't be doing. It's a very terrible, terrible, dirty, nasty, bad habit that I wish I never would have picked up. But regardless, let's move along here. One of the first things you could do is you can refer to evidence as part of your balancing test. Meaning if you can, essentially if you can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that whatever it is that you put out in the world for others to listen, watch, read, essentially any form of media for people to enjoy, you have to be able to prove that it's a commentary. You have to be able to prove that you can use it in a search. You have to be able to prove that it's criticism. You have to be able to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's parody. You have to be able to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's for a news report. Same thing with research. Same thing with archiving for a library. If not just personal archiving, because there are people who actually collect a lot of things, like conspiracy nuts, once again hinting to JFK and all the bullshit around that with the grassy knoll and the two shooters. And really what it was is now that scientists have been able to sit down and, well, forensic scientists anyway, they've been able to slow it down. Now the new theory is that actually he was killed by one of his bodyguards because the bodyguard heard the shot and went to jump on the car. And because he jumped on the car, his pistol, which was in his hand, hit the trunk of the car, misfired, and actually he killed the president. Regardless, going off topic here, or again, that you're using it for a scholarship. If you could prove beyond a shadow of a doubt through your evidence that that is exactly what you're doing, it counts as fair use. Now, how can you prove that it's evidence? Well, part two, examples, which, generally speaking, are the importance of items removed. Now, what do I mean by the importance of items removed? Well, we have to skip ahead a bit, and we'll come back here in a second. And it comes down to what's referred to as reproduction rights, meaning anything that essentially you're reproducing. To put mildly, there was actually a case, and I'm trying to find it here, blah, 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 no, that's not it, god dang it, stupid notes, my apologies for being all over the place, ah, here it is, in the 19th century, there was a U.S. copyright case, it was Judge Joseph Story, who originally made up the four factors, because there was a man by the name of Reverend Charles Wentworth Upham, U-P-H-A-M, so I'm not trying to be a jackass here and say up him, but regardless, the man literally, in the 19th century, copied 353 pages. Not a joke. 353 pages. Now stop and think about that. You're cramming for, let's say, an English paper. No, even better. You're cramming for a history paper, because this is exactly what it was about. It was about history. You're cramming for a history report. And you literally write out 353 pages from a book written by, let's see, Bella Marsh, in which she wrote a 12-volume biography on George Washington. Now, after copying these 353 pages, you say that you did this all on your own. Literally, you did it all by yourself. But instead of turning that into a history report, you decide, you know what? I'm just going to take the work that this woman did, and I'm going to turn it into a book of my own. Now, the book was actually published by, let's see, Charles Folsom. Now, when Charles Folsom published the book, he published it as a 2-volume work because, well, 353 pages. Technically, that's almost 1 volume of the Encyclopedia Britannica, I think. Maybe not even. Maybe half of one. I don't know. Regardless, those are huge-ass books. That's what I'm getting at here. Bigger than your average graphic novel. I'm trying to think here. Oh, yes. I have the first five volumes of the Spawn Essential Collector's Edition. If I were to take volumes 2 and 3, which essentially covers about 50 comics per book, remove all the artwork and replace it with just words, it would be that big for 353 pages. Okay? Now, because Folsom had published the book, Marsh actually ended up suing the company, well, sued Charles Folsom, but the company that he worked for as well, and she actually, literally, won the case. Because of the four factors of fair use. Which I know I have written down here somewhere. My apologies. Bloody hell. Oh, there it is. The first factor is character. Now, character is to be used, to be used as fair, one must demonstrate how it either advances knowledge or progressed the arts, and arts is in quotes here, through addition of something new. The second portion is nature. Now, nature is the facts and opinions are not facts and opinions are not protected by copyright. Only and only expression or fixation merits the protection. Now, the next portion of it is amount and sustainability. Now, if you're using most or all of a work, it does not bar fair usage. So again, going back to an earlier example of parody, when it comes down to Team 4 Star, they use most of it. That's not a lie. They actually have episode breakdowns where they show how they went in and redrew certain things. Excuse me. Ow. Anyway. They'll show how they went in and they redrew certain things, and they repurpose different parts of an episode to make up their own episodes. So again, this does not bar fair use. It's merely unfavorable for the defendant. Now, an example of this is the Sony Corporation of America actually sued Universal City Studios Incorporated for copying an entire television program for private viewing, which was deemed fair usage. So essentially, Sony sued Universal, or maybe it's the other way around, I can't remember. To be fully behind the curtain here is on the side, I literally wrote all this out like a month and a half ago, and I was actually planning on doing a video. But I'll get to the reason why it is I'm not doing this as a video here in a little bit. And by a little bit, I probably mean here by the end of the hour, because you guys who've listened for quite a while know that I ramble. And if you haven't listened for a while, I'm doing it now. Essentially what had happened was, if I remember correctly, it was Star Trek, oddly enough. One of them owned the rights to Star Trek, I want to say either the television series. Yes, it was. It was the television series, because it was an entire television program.
I just said that.
There, knocked some sense in my dumb ass. But they copied the entire season of the show, and they sat down and they watched it. Now, if I remember correctly, I think this was for doing up a movie, I think, like one of the movies. I'm not sure if it was one of the older ones or the new ones done by JJ. But because they had copied it and viewed it for literally a private viewing for essentially research purposes, it was deemed fair use. Now, however, there's another case called Harper and Row versus Nation Enterprises, which found that a 400-word quotation from President Ford's 200,000-word memoir to be unfair because the portion was, quote, the heart of the work. Meaning, essentially, it's the same thing today. Fox News, CNN, any of these other jackass 24-hour news media, MSNBC-type fucking outlets where they have nothing better to do but run pieces about how a kitten got run over in Missouri and there's a landslide in Texas that's killed 16 people. And, oh, by the way, there's corrupt government officials doing corrupt government official shit. But you guys already knew that, so we're not going to cover that. We're going to cover all the fluff pieces, essentially. We're going to cover real news for like an hour, and then we're going to talk about stupid shit like it's raining in Seattle. Because, for fuck's sakes, like, nobody fucking knew that shit. And I apologize for my heavy profanity here, but this is me we're talking about. Essentially, you get one of these 24-hour news networks, and President Obama goes up and he makes a speech about how we're going to fight ISIS, and they have, you know, hundreds of thousands of guns that were purchased illegally on the black market, and we're going to go out of our way, and we're going to shut down ISIS, and we're going to take these guns, and we're going to either give them to our military or sell them to China so we can get rid of some of our debt to the Chinese, or whatever the fuck he says. And they essentially, they take a simple soundbite, like literally a small, tiny soundbite that essentially would sum up exactly what he says. Now, they're not really taking this out of context too much. It's literally the chunk of meat of the speech. It's like a 5-10 minute clip out of him talking in front of a camera doing a State of the Union address for like an hour. They take like a 5-10 minute clip and they show it on their TV channel. They put it up on their website for you to listen to, and then they discuss what it talks about. Now, because it is a news article, technically because it's a news report, they could get away with it. But if it deems to be unfair, because they essentially skipped over all of the boring parts where he pauses and, you know, mugs for the cameras so the cameras can get some shots for, you know, the newspaper or whatever, because he knows that shit happens, even though most people don't read newspapers anymore. So essentially, it's going up on Facebook for whatever fucking reason. And again, I'm rambling. But like I said, if they take this 5-minute to 10-minute clip, and they put it on their show, and be like, this is all it was about, right here, black and white, they can get in trouble for it. Now, the fourth and final is the effect upon value. Now, what does it mean by effect upon value? And excuse me for coughing. Essentially, that measures the effect that allegedly infringing upon the use has had on the owner's ability to exploit his or her original work. Now, the burden of proof rests with the retainer of the copyright, who must then demonstrate the impact of this infringement on commercial use of work. Kick-Ass is the perfect example here. Kick-Ass is one of the most illegally downloaded movies of all time. Now, I think I have a DVD of it somewhere. If not, it's gotten lost in the moves and me breaking up with my old lady, and it might be at her place, or I might have lent it to Nick, and I'm probably never going to see it again because he might have lent it to somebody else and forgot it was even mine, or something like that. But I had the DVD of it, and I say had because, again, I'm not sure where it is. Like I said, I moved like a month ago, and I still haven't unpacked shit, maybe 5% of my stuff. Because I've either been working for Fandom Night or working my actual job. And then when I do have time to myself, it's like, I don't feel like doing anything. But again, back to Kick-Ass. It was literally one of the most illegally downloaded movies on the face of the planet. So much so that when Kick-Ass 2 came around, half, and I do mean half, of the original stars who returned for the second movie either knew that they weren't going to make any money or whined and bitched and pissed and moaned like a bunch of little babies saying, please do not steal this money out of my mouth by illegally downloading this movie. I need this money to live. Now, while technically that's a lie, because a lot of them were working on other movies and film projects and television projects and running regional, well, not really regional theaters, but they were running actual theaters like Broadway and stuff like that. So they had more income coming in. But at the same time, this is Hollywood, so we're in upside-down, topsy-turvy land at this point. You know, when it comes right down to creating content, it's either you give it up for free, like we're doing here, you make people listen to ads so you can get revenue when it comes down to, like, television, podcast, or the radio, or if you're making a movie, you essentially go out of your way to tell people, don't download this movie. And if you do download this movie, make sure that you buy up, like, 6 copies of my movie so I can actually get paid my salary for being in this movie. Because when it comes right down to it, we all need money. You know what I mean? I work as a janitor. I'm not about to go and scrub shit off of a toilet for free. I'm not. I barely do that at home. And I say barely because I will clean up my house. But I'm not going to go to your house and clean shit off your toilet unless I'm the one who made the mess for absolutely free. But again, I'll do it at your house because I'm not an asshole. Well, I take that back because my catchphrase is I'm sorry, oh, and I'm an asshole, so you don't have to be. But you guys understand my point here. Now, when it came down to Kick-Ass being pirated, like I said, they lost so much money on it that most of the actors pretty much knew that they were coming in to do this movie for free. The actress who played Hit Girl actually threw such a stink about it that when it comes down to after Kick-Ass 2, because, you know, everybody begged and pleaded, please don't steal our movie, please do not steal our movie. And they were actually kind of kind about it. But with the way the internet is and the fact that more and more people are just becoming assholes that want to do whatever just because they can, they pirated the movie again. So Kick-Ass 2 came out, and it made a decent amount of money at the box office, and that was pretty much all they had, because when it came to the DVD releases, almost everybody owned a bootleg copy of it. And I say almost everybody because, again, I still don't own that movie, even though I need to get off my ass and do that. Probably replace Kick-Ass 1 as well, but shit, they'll create a 2-pack DVD one of these days, and I'll fucking buy it. Whereas someone like our fearless leader, Bill, he owns both movies on DVD, if not Blu-ray. Which, oh, please God, a Blu-ray double pack, please. That'll save me so much time and effort. Now that I finally have my PlayStation working again. Anyway, sidetracked. But because it made so little money, she essentially decided that if they make a part 3, she's not returning. She even told them in part 2, just in case something like this happens, make sure that my character is, like, gone from the picture. That way, then, if we do, like, somehow people do listen to us and they don't illegally download this movie, you can bring my character back. If they do illegally download this movie, then see, it was fun working with everybody, type of thing. And, again, there are two kinds of harm that can be done here, which I've already gone, I wouldn't say above and beyond with explaining it, but the first one is substitution of the original work in the marketplace. Meaning, I'm selling bootleg copies of a DVD, so nobody's getting any money but me. The second is potential marketplace harm that might exist beyond direct substitution. Now, what's beyond direct substitution? Well, taking the scripts from the movie and remaking the movie as a fan film with literally the exact same characters, the exact same plot points, and somehow the exact same budget, reshooting the film, and selling it yourself. Now, again, we'll bring up Team 4 Star here. Because Helsing Abridged is amazing. It really is. It's one of my favorite things ever. I love Helsing Ultimate. I really do. I own every piece of it. I try to watch it constantly, but again, I burn the disc to my computer and then gave it to Nick, so it's on my computer. The copies I have, I don't have, but hey, what are you gonna do? It's not my fault that some shit went down and I lent it to somebody and I haven't seen it in a while. And I'm bringing up Nick a lot, and my apologies to him. But, like I said, the Team Four Stars Helsing Abridged, which is essentially being all done by one of their members, Takahata 101. Now, if Curtis, a.k.a. Taka, were to actually release it as a DVD box set of all of Helsing Abridged, so you get all of Helsing Ultimate Abridged, plus some behind the scenes and bloopers where everybody who's recording their parts, you know, fuck up and whatnot, and, you know, you get outtakes and shit like that. Technically, you can buy that and use it as a replacement for the original Helsing Ultimate. Now, unfortunately, no, you can't, because while it's funny and I enjoy the shit out of it, it's not going to replace it. It never will. Now, for some people, it might count as a substitution. For me, not so much. Again, I'm a fan. I understand where the, you know, jokes are, where the humor is. Them making fun of the fact that, you know, the main Nazi's such a douchey, fat fuck that pretty much the only thing he's got going for him is enough charisma to essentially command the remaining Nazi army. And the fact that he pretty much is a whiny crybaby bitch who's only good at planning. You know, he's made enough monsters out of what was left of the Nazi army by turning them into faux vampires through injecting a specific serum in them, if I remember correctly, and turning them into vampires. Again, if I'm wrong, fandomnight.com, send me an email. I don't care where to, I will answer it, because I'm on half of the shows on the roster. And now that my long-winded ass has taken a smoke break, let us continue. Acknowledgement of copyrighted source can help the defendants, though. That's the other part I forgot. I forgot that there was a continuation to that. My apologies, everybody. I got long-winded for no fucking reason. But, yes, if you acknowledge the fact that the original copyrighted source is there, it can help you. So, again, going back to Team Four Star, like I just said, when it comes down to DBZA, or when it comes down to Helsing Ultimate Abridged, they do actually make acknowledgement. They state at the very beginning of every single one of their videos, this is a fan-made parody. Let's see. This is a fan-made parody. Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, and Dragon Ball GT are all owned by Funimation, Toei Animation, Fuji TV, and Akira Toriyama. Please support the official release. So they literally tell you to go out of your way to buy either the Orange Box Collection, which is a hell of a watch, all of Kai, all of Super, as it's coming out, and you can get it, and get the games, play the games, watch the DVDs, get the the actual animated movies that they have. Get the movies, get the series, get all of it. Go out of your way to get it. Because it even states, if you read the full disclaimer, because what I just did was me reading off their disclaimer for them. Props if you guys use that. But, that means, you know, you guys love us too, which is very doubtful. I don't think you guys, even listen to our stuff. But, again, when it comes right down to it, there. Sorry, I was going to turn off my PlayStation, and I need the quiet. Which, I know that would be more quiet, but my speakers actually have a weird feedback to them. I can't help it. I like listening to my video games on max, especially when I'm playing a survival horror in my house by myself at midnight with all the lights off. I'm just old school like that. Now, if you read their actual full disclaimer on their videos, it states that this is a non-for-profit, fan-based parody. They make no money off of these videos. They can, however, make money off of the merchandise from the scripts and jokes that they write. Like Ghost Nappa, it actually appears on a t-shirt because they wrote the Ghost Nappa joke, which Ghost Nappa does not exist in Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball GT, or any of the other iterations of Dragon Ball that are out there, including other fan fiction other than theirs. So because that's their own original idea, they have every right to go out of their way and market that joke to the people, for the people, by the people. Thank you, good night, and God bless America. Oh, wait, wrong rhetoric. Anyway. Now, where was I? Because I have to jump all the way back to the very beginning. Ah, yes, the examples. The importance of items removed, which I've already covered. Government errors, which is fairly self-explanatory. That's, the government screws up sometimes, and they don't always back up all their files, or hard drives get deleted or whatnot, and something just slips through the cracks, and nobody knows about it. Nobody gets told about it. So you can find out about it and tell people about it, and fair use. Government interest is actually another example for the balancing act. How government interest works is there was the, there's a three-step test known as the Byrna three-step test. Now, Byrna is a country in a country. It's a city in Switzerland where they actually held what's known as the Byrna Convention. Now, as a part of the Byrna Convention, they came up with what's known as the WTOA, or the World Trade Organization Agreement, on trade-related aspects of intellectual property rights. Now, well, actually, technically, the full anagram for that would be WTOATAIP, which is kind of a hell of a mouthful, aside from the intellectual property rights bullshit. Now, two countries... Okay, excuse me. This is going to sound really ridiculous, but two major countries, because technically there are third world countries that don't abide by the rest of the world's essentially governing rules, as dictated by the United Nations. So, if your country isn't big enough to be accepted into the UN, technically you don't have to go to some of these things and you don't have to follow them. But two of the major countries that weren't there were Kazakhstan and Greenland. They were not at the convention. So technically, Kazakhstan and Greenland does not have to hold up to fair use whatsoever. Whatsoever. Not a joke. You can go there and download as much illegal shit as you want. Just be prepared to deal with Greenland and Kazakhstan's rules and shit like that. Although, don't get me wrong, Greenland might be a little bit better. And that's only because I don't really know much about Kazakhstan other than, as far as I can remember, that was the country that they used in Borat, I think. Just because they were trying to be smartasses and pick a country that they figured no American had ever heard of. But then again, at the same time, considering the fact that America is number one in, what is it? The only thing that America actually is number one in is confidence. Whereas, I think it's Japan is actually number one in intelligence. Because they actually teach their kids shit in school. And not just stupid shit like make sure that they know who Jesus is and let's pray in school. But again, that's me going off topic and interjecting personal opinions. I'm merely stating they actually teach you shit like world geography. They teach you where certain countries are. Okay, that's going to sound retarded, but at the same time, it's also late at night and I'm tired. But they teach you where different places are inside of a country, to put it simply. So if you go to Europe and somebody goes, Patrick Stewart, perfect example. I was listening to an interview with Patrick Stewart and he goes, well, you know, as a Yorkshireman, you know, people automatically assume that just because I'm from England, you know, that dictates everybody. And he goes, no, there's a whole bunch of different provinces and stuff sitting within, God damn it, having the fan off sucks, sitting within Europe. But because you don't teach your kids world geography, they have no idea where Yorkshire is. Much like people know where Ireland is, but they don't know about the different provinces inside of Ireland. Which is kind of a fair thing to say. Most Americans don't. But then again, we don't teach world geography. We focus on dumber shit, like how to pass your SAT scores so that within the school can continue getting its government funding. But I went off on a long tangent, so let's get back to the point here. Let's see. The three-step... This is going to be ridiculous. The original three-step model was made originally in 1967. I'll give you guys a minute to let that sink in. 1967 was when they decided to make the original three-step test at the Berna Convention to determine whether something counts as fair use or not. 1967. Let's see. What was out around 1967? If I remember correctly, I think the Jetsons and the Flintstones might have been about that time. And in the far-off distant land and time of the year 2000, we had flying cars, houses on stilts up in the fucking stratosphere, so we could avoid all of the shit happening down below on the actual Earth from global warming and climate change and the fact that we essentially destroyed all of our natural resources. And again, I'm interjecting things, but I'm just saying that was kind of the point, was it was a futuristic world where every major place was on a giant stilt, hundreds of thousands of miles in the air. Everybody had a flying car. You did your job by pushing buttons while sitting in a chair. Sounds slightly reminiscent of today. Push some buttons, maybe click a mouse button, get some work done. So they were kind of right with that. We all have robots. Another miss. And on top of the robots, which are actually almost borderline AI at this point, like full artificial intelligence, the only difference is they never actually state whether or not they have to follow the three laws of robotics. So, I mean, we don't exactly see Rosie the Robot killing Mr. Jetson simply because she's overworked as a housemaid after picking up after him, the wife who's a stay-at-home lazy-about mom. And I'm not saying anything about stay-at-home mothers. I'm just saying she literally is a lazy-about mom if they have to have a maid to clean the entire house while she literally doesn't work. Just saying. They have a teenage daughter who's constantly running around trying to hang out with her boyfriend and get some. Again, interjecting a little bit of extra points there, but that's kind of what was going on. And their son, who's a genius, but at the same time, whilst being a genius, all he wants to do is sit around and play video games. So again, your standard average American family. Only set in the far-off land of 2000. And yes, I said land and not time, because apparently this is an alternate reality, because we're in the year 2016 by my... watch here that has a built-in calendar and can read emails to me and tell me when I'm getting a phone call so I can hook it up to my other Bluetooth devices and talk to people. But seeing as how we're in a further off time, this clearly has to be some sort of parallel universe. But regardless, like I said, seeing as how this doctrine is almost 40 years old, it's definitely time for an update, because they clearly didn't predict the internet back in the days of the Jetsons. In fact, there's a movie out. It's a documentary, what is it? I think it's called The Rise and Fall. No, it's not The Rise and Fall, because that's essentially the that's the subtitle to it, is The Rise and Fall of Tower Records, which was written by Colin Hanks. Well, the idea was essentially made by Colin Hanks, which, for anybody who doesn't know, he's actually the son of Tom Hanks. He's actually a pretty good comedian, and he's a pretty decent actor. In fact, I just got NCIS Season 11, and I forgot that at the ass end of Season 10 and the start of Season 11, he's actually an integral role for the plot. Like, that's how good he is. I completely forgot it was him. I was too busy hating his character for being a complete and total sleazebag douche fucking lawyer who essentially his entire job has been to put people behind bars for, quote, breaking the law whilst trying to uphold the law. But it's not like he's doing it in an underhanded way. He literally is like one of those smart, cocky, like, he can arrest you, he can have you arrested and thrown in jail for littering. Like, that's how guy, that's how good this guy is, like, as a character. That's how good he is with the law, type of thing. But again, I'm sidetracking. Now, back to the notes. The reproduction rights, which is part of the three-step. The first is general, the second is exceptions, and the third is AV. Now, the first for general is authors of literary and artistic works using the Bernay Convention, well, as a definition anyway, shall have exclusive rights of authorizing the reproduction of these works in any manner or form. So literally, I write a book. And mind you, I've been trying to work on a book for a while. Essentially, the book is, I want to say it's kind of a fan fiction, but it isn't. It's essentially my main character happens to be in kind of a bad place in his life. He gets into a car wreck when he wakes up. When he wakes up in the hospital, he realizes that he can now see angels and demons, but they look like normal people. The only difference is demons wear white suits, and angels wear black suits. They all have special powers. They don't have their wings out ever. Like, essentially, I kind of want it to fall within, like, the Kevin Smith View Askew universe of, like, Dogma type of thing, where, like, they have their wings and stuff and they can come out as need be, but really they never really use them because there's no point to it. They don't actually fly anywhere, and even if they do fly or hover, it essentially is almost like Dragon Ball Z rules, where so long as you take your actual spiritual energy and push it underneath of yourself, you can use it to, like, float and fly and shit like that. Like, the wings essentially dictate what you are. It's kind of like the difference between having a penis and a vagina type of thing, if that sounds weird. Like, it pretty much, it dictates, okay, that's going to sound insensitive, but it dictates what you are. Now, I'm not trying to be a dick to anybody in the LGBT community who, you know, they feel as though they were born the wrong gender. Like I said, I'm not trying to discriminate, but that's the easiest example I can make here. You know, if you have literal, like, white bird wings, you are essentially an angel, which, again, the suit kind of dictates it. That's the reason why they have the black suit, is to contrast the fact that they have white wings, much like in the reverse, where demons have, like, black feathered wings to dictate that they're angels. That's why they wear the white suits, is to help accentuate the fact. Now that big words are coming back to my dumb pea brain. And then, of course, you know, there's comic moments where I make references to different shows and animes, like Dragon Ball Z, during part of the training montage I have in the book. Part of it is actual flight training, and he actually uses, you know, my main character uses Dragon Ball Z as a reference. And he literally openly references it. You know, I make nods to different songs that I like and listen to. I make nods to some of the video games I play. I make different nods to some of the movies I watch. Like, literally the entire thing is a Kevin Smith style of book. And I know some people out there are like, well, fuck Kevin Smith. All he ever made was fucking Clerks. And after that, everything else was a piece of dog shit trying to, you know, recreate that magic. Say what you will, I'm a fan. I especially like the fact that the man only works on shit that he wants to work on. That's pretty much what this book is. Like, Bill has been working on for several years an actual fan fiction continual story from in between, Star Trek the Original Series and Star Trek the Next Generation. Like, if I remember correctly, Star Trek the Original Series took place in, like, the 2260s. And his book is supposed to take place in the 2270s, moving into the 2280s. Because then about near the ass end of the 2280s is right around the time that they start Next Generation. So he's not trying to step on any toes there. All he's doing is, as a fan of Star Trek, he's trying to go out of his way to actually write something that other Star Trek fans would actually enjoy, much like himself. So, you know what I mean? Now, where was I? Oh yes, authors of the literary and artistic works. Correct. Now, like I said, they have the exclusive rights of authorizing the reproduction. Meaning, if I decide that I want to go out and I want to take Dragon Ball Z, for instance, and I'm going to release my own, quote, official release of Dragon Ball Z, I can't. Because that comes down to Akira Toriyama to decide who actually gets the rights to release it. Like, everybody argues about the rights of intellectual properties. Like, you know, who actually is in charge of the distribution rights of the movies? Who's in charge of the licensing rights for making toys and mugs and different things of that nature? And, of course, the list goes on and on when it comes down to that. My apologies there. My phone went off, so I had to double-check something real quick. Now, the second portion of it is exceptions. Now, the exceptions dictate that it is up to legislation in countries of the Union, meaning those that were actually there at the Berna Convention and those under the UN, it is up to the legislation in those countries to permit the reproduction of works in special cases, provided said reproduction does not conflict with normal exploitation of work and does not unreasonably prejudice legitimate interest of the author. So what does that mean? Well, essentially what that means is I write my book I was telling you about, okay? I think if I remember correctly, because it's been quite some time since I've actually... my apologies there. Trying to put on my shoes and balance some stuff. Essentially what that comes down to is I make my book, right? And I've decided I'm going to name my book Dude Fights People. Because I'm not going to give you guys the actual name of the book. Because it seems like every time I start working on it, even though I'm only on page 45 of what's written in my head to be almost 2,000 pages. Yes, it's that ridiculous of a novel. There's all sorts of stuff going back and forth. It's literally an epic. There's comedic parts, there's action-y parts, there's lovey-dovey love interest parts, there's all sorts of shit. Like, if they were to make it into a movie, it literally would be considered an epic because, like I said, there's, you know... What is it? There's a rom-com, there's a sitcom, there's sit drama, so situational comedy and situational dramedy, romantic comedy. There's action, there's adventure, there's fighting, there's sci-fi, there's fantasy. There's so much shit to it that literally it would be an epic. Like, I'm not gonna lie. And I'm not trying to say that my book and my story idea is epic. I mean, that's literally the classification. Because you can usually classify things as adult literature, young literature, young adult literature, because, of course, young literature is like children's books, like Horton Hears a Who and Dr. Seuss stuff, sci-fi, fantasy, fiction, nonfiction, biography, autobiography. Like, there's so many different ways to break it down that quite literally, since it could fit in several different genres, it counts as epic. Of course, then again, I'm probably wrong because I'm more of a science and math guy than I am an actual English guy, which is the reason why it's taking me so long to write the book. I have yet to get off my ass and actually put a pen to paper or fingers to keyboard other than the 45 pages I've typed out. Which is funny, because the book is actually an old George Carlin joke come to life. It originally started as a suicide note that I decided to erase and turn into a story because I went off on a side topic. Like I'm doing now. So, notes. But like I said, I write my book, and I make it. Now, technically, if somebody in France decides that they literally want to plagiarize my book and literally rewrite it word for word, but this time they're going to translate it into French, technically they can do that unless I buy the rights for it in every language for every country under the Union. So that way then I get all of the money for the book. That's actually how it is that J.K. Rowling's got all of the money that she did. It wasn't just because everybody and their brother went out and bought all the Harry Potter books. It's because when it came down to publishing, the publishers knew that if they buy the rights to this book and publish it with a UK version, there's an American version of the book, and I'm not saying that those versions are different, I'm simply saying that they bought the rights in America for it. They bought a Canadian rights for the book, they bought a Mexican rights for the book, they bought a Venezuelan rights to the book, they bought an actual rights for it in Spain, they bought them in Ireland, they got them for Africa, they got them for over in China and Japan. Meaning, if somebody in Russia went out of their way to pretty much copy the book from English and rewrite it, translate it into Russian, technically they could get all the money for it and she would get dick. As an understatement. So, because the publishers are good at their job, because they know that type of loophole bullcrap, that's how they get away with it. And of course, the third factor to this is any, and I mean any, sound or visual recording shall be considered as a reproduction for the purposes of this convention. Now, what does that mean? That means I am currently talking into my phone because that's how I record audio. Actually, technically, that's how Scotty and I record audio for the wrestling podcast that we do for Jabba Wrestling Corner. Shameless plug for anybody who's a wrestling fan that hasn't quite figured that show out. But at the same time, you probably have because you're like, quit going off on tangents, asshole. I didn't want this audio to be 2 hours long. Sorry. Now, when we talk at our phone, it actually counts as a reproduction. Because the audio quality is literally being reproduced by my phone, being sent to Bill or Scott or whoever it is that's actually going to edit all this together, and then given to our disembodied voice, who is then going to post this to the RSS feed, so that when you refresh your RSS feed, you get this episode and you can listen to it. That's how you're able to get away with listening and watching stuff, you know, prior. In fact, the second something comes out live, like Saturday Night Live, as you're watching it on television, and it technically is live unless you live out in California or something where there's a delay or something, if I remember correctly. Now, sometimes there isn't a delay, and I know that certain late-night shows, they actually will put one up just for the simple fact of sometimes there's segments that, you know, can't be shown until after a specific time and certain places and stuff like that. So, I mean, it all, that all comes down to the legality of what is referred to as the Carlin Code, which the Carlin Code I've broken many times here, but that's because by law I have my First Amendment right of free speech, which I am allowed to say pretty much whatever I want to, so long as it's not too hurtful. And even if it is hurtful, you can get back to me and tell me it was hurtful, and I will apologize. I really will. I try not to offend too many people. I really do. I don't like offending people, because being a fat, chubby bastard who broke up with his girlfriend a year ago and before that couldn't find a woman to save his life, I understand what it's like to be ridiculed and made fun of. You know, I was picked on all through grade school, shit like that. Like, I try not to upset people. I really, really do. Unless you have it coming by acting like a complete and total asshat. And then if you're acting like an asshat, sorry, you got it coming. Just what's gonna happen. I'm just gonna tear into you. Because I can be a dick if need be. Now, to date, only one case. One. Let's let that sink in. Where was it? 1967 until current time. One court case has used the Berna Convention's three steps to figure out whether something counts as fair use or not. They use the Berna three-step test. To date, one court case. Now, how did this come about? Well, because of restaurants, bars, and shops were essentially being charged, if I remember correctly. Yes, let's see. Restaurants, bars, and shops had to pay a licensing fee for having the radio or the TV going. Now, because of this case, restaurants, bars, and shops do not have to pay a licensing fee for turning on the radio or having the TV on whilst you're sitting around drinking a beer or getting your hair cut or waiting in line at the DMV or sitting in a doctor's office or anything of that nature. Now, the specific companies will dictate what is acceptable and what isn't. Like most bars, generally speaking, if I can continue speaking properly and enunciating correctly, I need to remember to open my mouth a little wider when I talk. When it comes right down to it, most bars and stuff, if they have a specific theme, like it's a biker bar, they usually play like rock and heavy metal type of stuff, you know. I mean, I'm really speaking like generalized here, because there are a lot of biker bars for African American people where they will play like old school rap and shit like that, but like I said, it's all kind of dependent on how the establishment feels. That, what is it? It all is codependent upon how the establishment feels that it should be run. So if you go to a sports theme bar, they're going to be playing ESPN radio where you can listen to a ball game, and they'll be playing like three or four different, like, football, baseball, and basketball games on the different TVs, depending upon which sports season it is. You might have NASCAR on, certain shit like that, you know what I mean? You go to a gay bar, you know, there'll be whatever type of music they feel like playing there, because, again, I'm a straight male, I've never been to a gay, well, technically that's a lie, I've been to a gay bar once, but technically it was a nightclub and not a gay bar, and the nightclub scene here in town is essentially play a lot of, like, techno oomps, oomps, oomps bullshit music, which I don't really have that much against techno. Other than when you're drinking and they have it blaring at a soothing 101 decibels, it's not my type of party. I'm more into, like, rock and punk and ska punk and heavy metal and old school gangster rap and shit like that, classical, jazz. Like I said, I like everything, but mainly I stick towards my main roads, which is hard rock, heavy metal, and ska punk, along with video game songs, which, again, there's some electronica, but getting off topic. I'm just saying that's what I would play in my bar, restaurant, or whatever. Let's see. 1907, there was the Statute of Anne, which was the first copyright law, to give you guys a little bit of extra history. The four factors I've already covered. Sorry, guys, I'm just... My notes are kind of jumbled. The meanings of such... Which is fucking two... Jesus Christ, no, it was like 30 pages long. Holy shit. Okay, here we go. Now, again, this was all copied word for word, and I will give full credit to Wikipedia for this. So you can check their sources. Just saying. In the litigation of infringement, definition bears the burden of raising and proving use was fair. This only happens if plaintiff shows sufficient enough evidence at the start of the case for copyright infringement to have happened. Which, there's an actual technical word here, which is called prima facie, I think. I don't know, I can't read my handwriting, because apparently I was writing this down really quick. That, or I was trying not to fall asleep. My apologies. Now, most of which can be defeated without fair use if work was not copyrightable, the term had expired, or the defendant's work borrowed only a small amount. So, quite literally, what I'm giving you here is if some shit goes down, which some shit has gone down, which, again, there's a reason why we left YouTube, it's because they're being a bunch of jackasses. So, if something comes up where you actually have to go to court to prove that what you've posted to YouTube or put on the internet or taken into school for some form of a research project or anything along those lines, this is how you fight it right here. Like I said, the litigation of infringement, in the litigation of infringement, so meaning if you have to deal with the court case with infringement, the defendant bears the burden of raising and proving use was fair. Now, this only will happen if the plaintiff can show enough evidence at the start of the case for copyright infringement to be used, which most of which can be defeated without fair use if work was not copyrightable, the terms had expired, or the defendant only borrowed a small amount from the work. Most copyright claims come from the copyright owners hoping you won't spend the resources, meaning your time, money, and energy, to fight the claim. So what does that mean? What that means is if you get a copyright strike against you from YouTube, and you happen to have, like, $3,000 lying around, and only use that number because if you actually want to get a lawyer, lawyers can get kind of pricey. At the same time, they also, you know, depending upon if monetary compensation comes out of this, which sadly for YouTube it will, which is another thing I'm going to get to here in a minute. They'll take some of your monetary compensation from YouTube for them filing a claim on your video and saying that you can't get any money out of it. Unless you want to defend yourself, which I just gave you every single reason why you can. Because like I said, most of them, if you say I'm going to take you to court over your bogus-ass mark against my YouTube video where you're trying to claim that it's not fair use, they either won't show up in court or they'll just pay your ass immediately because they don't want to have to deal with the legal fees. They really don't. That's all corporations. Almost all corporations will not stand up in court against you. They'd rather just pay you the money outside of it. Now, at the same time, paying you the money outside of it, depending upon whether it seems fair to you or not, 9 times out of 10, it could be bullshit. So I'm just saying here. Now, let's see. Berna states that one country may own the rights, but another may copy and release the content fully plagiarized, and that country will own the rights to that reproduced content. Which again goes back to the whole thing I made up with, you know, Harry Potter and buying the rights from each country. It also dictates the fact that, let's see, it's, Toei Animation in Japan owns the rights to Dragon Ball Z. Funimation here in America owns the rights to Dragon Ball Z. Now, how can they both own the rights? Simple. Because even though Toei owns the full rights, Funimation owns the plagiarized rights to actually release an Americanized dub, which is how we got some of the fuck-ups, like it's over 9,000 instead of it's over 8,000. The fact that they've never fully translated the manga correctly for the show. Well, not so much for the show, but for the actual comic itself. Sadly, Americans have bastardized it, you know, with other shit like, you know, the Super Sentai show once we got Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. You know what I mean? Like, shit like that happens all the time. So again, that's pretty much how it works. They are allowed to reproduce it fully plagiarized, like the entire thing, and really all they did is they essentially added English to it. You know what I mean? That's pretty much all they did, except in the case that I brought up of Power Rangers, where they literally just stole the footage, added dubs over top of it when they're in the costumes using the actual Japanese footage, and then pretty much wrote their own show. So, technically, legal. However, most places would rather get the rights to use said property to avoid legal action. So, while my example, after that, is technically bullshit, they essentially bought out the rights. Okay, they didn't fully plagiarize it or any of that shit I just said. But they could have. Instead, they went out of their way to make sure that lawsuits wouldn't happen. And they got the blessings of Akira Toriyama to actually, you know, dub it dub it. I don't know why I keep thinking dub and sub should be flip-flopped. Probably because I'm a retard, because sub means it's subtitles, and dubbed means that they actually went in and duplicated the voices. Okay, there, I feel a little bit better. So, like I said, they actually went out of their way, they bought the rights to it, like I said, much like with, you know, J.K. Rowling's and, you know, going out of her way for the publishers to buy the rights to it in each country, so that way then, in case some shit like that did happen, it wouldn't. You know, they essentially sold the rights to different publishers in different countries so the other countries could actually rewrite the book in their native tongue and republish it. Really wasn't that difficult for places like Ireland or, you know, Canada, where a good portion of people speak English. I mean, they did have to get a French version of it. America is very simple. There's actually a lot of countries that understand English because, again, they teach their kids in school so they can read and write in other languages. But, again, I'm getting off topic. Now, once again, what does all this have to do with YouTube and the reason why it's all bullshit? Well, there's one major factor here. There's a large company that happens to own a bunch of other companies. One of them is Android. So anybody who doesn't have an iPhone and you have an Android-enabled smartphone, you're owned by this parent company. There's a streaming company out there called Songza. Some of you might have heard of it. There's another one called DoubleClick, which is an ad company. They're in charge of giving you ad revenue on websites. They're also in charge of making stupid, retarded ads that you can pretty much put on any fucking website, which are a giant pain in the ass. Anybody who's been to any of those stupid-ass clickbaity websites that you get from clicking on shit on Facebook, you understand what I'm talking about. Top 10 reasons why All Real Monsters needs to come back that only 90s kids will understand. Oh shit, I'm clicking on that. Fuck, get rid of that ad. Fuck, get rid of that ad. Fuck, get rid of that ad. Oh god damn it, there's like 3 more ads. How am I supposed to read this article? Shit, now it just moved me to another page that's literally an ad. Blame double click. Feedburner is another place, or another company, excuse me, that happens to be owned by this parent company. Now what Feedburner does is they create RSS feeds. I kind of want to say that we were using Feedburner to make our RSS feed, but I'd have to get a hold of the disembodied voice to authenticate that. So, for right now, I'm going to skip it. Zagat's, which is a very, very old term. They've actually been around for quite a while. Zagat's is a guide for restaurants. What they do is they send somebody out to pretty much go to the restaurant, eat the food, rate the food, and tell you whether it's worth your time to actually go to this restaurant or not. It also is the same place that puts out stars for the restaurant. So if you go to a 5-star restaurant, Zagat's was the one that pretty much went in and said, yeah, this food is awesome. Mainly because they're also the ones that get a hold of the people that are actually in charge of doing that. Because while Zagat's has their own rating guide, there actually is a star rating guide to restaurants and shit like that, which is actually owned by another company, but again, Zagat's can kind of do their own thing, because again, they're plagiarizing from this other company, but technically all they're doing is they took their blueprint and repurposed it for their own function through fair use. And of course, YouTube is owned by this parent company. Now, why did I bring up all these other companies just to talk about the parent company? Because the parent company is something we all use. It's a household name. You don't know how to do something? You do the same thing I do. You Google it. Now, what does Google have to make a company like YouTube scared shitless of fair use? Google has multiple companies under its name. I just listed off 6 companies, including YouTube. It also happens to have $1 billion in backing. Let me say that again. $1 billion in backings. Technically $1 billion+. So if you wanted to write that out properly in longhand, that'd be a 1, a comma, 3 zeros, a comma, 3 zeros, a comma, 3 zeros, a comma, and 3 more zeros. If my brain is actually reading that correctly. Because I'm trying to do too many things. Let's see. 3 for the 1,000, 3 for the million, 3 for the billion. Yeah, yeah. So a 1 and then 9 zeros after it with a decimal point and a couple more zeros. And then you put a plus and then an up arrow sign because it's more than a billion. What else do they have? Well, they happen to have partnerships with multi-billion dollar companies like itself. Most of them media outlets, like Universal Studios. Huh. Coincidence. What else do they have? Well, shit, they have their own ad agency to help make ads. Run different ads. Holy shit, Google runs ads. Like ads for alcohol that I don't care about, because even though I do drink alcohol, it's not on the regular. So I don't want to hear about your fucking Jim Beam and your fucking shot of SoCo and your fucking Fireball and your stupid Jack Daniels bullshit. I don't care. I don't want to hear about fucking Budweiser or Busch or Coors Light, or any of those other fucking piss-tasting drinks. I don't want to hear about Strongbow, even though they went out of their way to hire Sir Patrick Stewart. Even though he's more of a scotch drinker than he is a hard cider drinker. Of course, then again, he also is English, and technically hard cider is more of an English breakfast if you're an alcoholic, but that's a different story. Sorry, finishing off my smoke. Let's see, what else do they do? Oh, they run advertisements for movies. Huh. What kind of movies do they advertise for? Well, shit, mostly Universal. Unless they get paid the big bucks through the ad agencies of places like Fox to tell you about Deadpool and X-Men and Fantastic Flop. And I'm sorry, I still haven't seen that movie and I refuse to see it because they purposely went out of their way to make a shit movie so that way then they continue to hold the rights. And Shitter Man, because they don't really need to retell Spider-Man for the 13th time. But they have to retell Spider-Man for the 13th time because that's the only way that they can keep their ad revenues up. Or not their ad revenues, excuse me. So they can keep their rights to Spider-Man, even though they're going to be kind and share it with Marvel and Disney, which Disney's another one that'll pay out the ass so that way then you can see Star Wars stuff and their new live-action Jungle Book. And yes, I said new because there already was a live-action Jungle Book that everybody seems to have forgotten about because that's how bad it was. Shit, what else do they do? Oh yeah, that's right, they advertise TV shows on there. Holy shit. Man, what else do they advertise on fucking YouTube? Well shit, anything that anybody throws money at them for. Holy hell. Man, what a coincidence! By the way, if you can't hear the sarcasm in my voice, kind of an idiot here. I'm just kind of being honest, because quite literally, Google has so many connections that they can literally do whatever they want. And because they are owned by so many other companies, and own so many other companies, and they have so many dealings with so many other companies, that they're worried about fair usage. In fact, YouTube has it set in their user agreement. Got that right here, too. The YouTube user agreement will basically, they can put a block on your video from YouTube. Now, mind you, if you're on YouTube and, you know, you want to look up the video, that's fine. But they can lock it for certain reasons. Like, you know, if you're trying to search it through Yahoo or Google itself, or for some ungodly reason you decide to go to Ask Jeeves, which is now just ask.com, which I don't even think fucking works, and if it does, it's riddled with so many bugs and viruses that'll get on your computer that you probably don't want to go there. And I'm not trying to be a dick or nothing. But they can limit it internally, or externally, excuse me. They can block it externally so it'll limit public exposure to content that may cause social or political unrest. Meaning, you come to find out, and somebody posts it to YouTube, that Donald Trump has murdered 13 people and raped 12 women yesterday. You know, something happened and Donald Trump went apeshit. I'm just saying something. If it would cause a riot where the people decide that they're going to take social justice against Donald Trump, they can block it so you can't see it. Now, this also works because they can also go out of their way to block your content for, well, off the same example, or not example, but the same reasoning here for the social or political unrest. They can also block your video if it happens to talk about how privileged the upper class really is. Like, if you really want to get behind this whole we are the 99% thing, and you want to talk about the top 1% of Americans that own this country, and yes, I do mean own this country, that's how much money they have. They can buy and sell you in a moment's notice type of thing. That's not a joke, if they literally wanted to, because it technically, it's an old saying, but it is true. Everybody has their price. Literally, you can ask anybody to do anything, and if they go, fuck that, you can go, how about money? How much money would it take for you to do this? So, that's how that works. And believe me, some people have a pretty high price when it comes to certain things. Like, I know Shane, even though he doesn't want to admit it, okay, this is gonna sound ridiculous, and I don't want you guys getting upset with Shane, because Shane actually has a gay brother, But when it comes to the question of his own sexuality, Shane is kind of a homophobe. Like, I keep telling everybody that we need to record, like, the in-between stuff, and technically we do. It's for the What's Up Fandom Night section. But that's recorded us bullshitting. Like, we actually bullshit in between episodes all the time. And a lot of it is, like, all of us getting up and, like, waving our junk in Shane's face. And I don't mean, like, we literally, like, unzip our pants and whip out our dick and wave it in his face. I mean, like, we'll walk by and, like, purposely, like, junk, like, put our junk first, like, as close to his head as possible because it makes him uncomfortable. Type of thing. And, like I said, he's not homophobic. I mean, it's just, you know, the term that I can use most easily to describe it. You know what I mean? Like, he's had plenty of, like, gay friends. Like, he's okay with gay people. But when it comes down to his own sexuality, he's, like, afraid of it. Like, there's a possibility that he might be gay, even though we all know he's not. You know what I mean? Like, or at least we all assume he's not. At the same time, that's more of a personal journey that he's got to deal with, whether he wants to or not. But, you know what I mean? Like, I'm perfectly fine with my sexuality. You know, if a dude comes in and whips out his dick, it'd be like, oh, nice cock, bigger than mine. Move along, dude. I'm trying to play a game. And that would literally be the end of it. You know what I mean? Like, I will admit if somebody has a bigger dick than mine. You know what I mean? Like, I watch enough porn that dicks don't scare me. If a dude walks up with a hard, like, erect dick and starts trying to shove it in my ear, I'll be like, dude, I don't swing that way. Go to fuck elsewhere. But I'm not going to, like, flip tits like Shane would and be like, oh my God, get him out! Type of thing like he would. Excuse me. The next reason why they can block your stuff is preventing criticism of a ruler, government officials, religion, or religious leaders. Now, I'm not going to gloss over the fact that I probably stopped my example of the last one with, you know, talking about buying and selling people and how, you know, if you were to ask me for gay sex or some shit, I'd probably say, like, yeah, give me, like, $3,000 and maybe I'll suck your cock, and anything more than that, we'll keep going, where Shane would be like, oh, you want me to even touch your dick? That's going to be $1 million. Like I said, everybody has their price. But to move this along, because it's already at about an hour and a half, and like I said, I don't want this to be a two-hour review, or, well, not so much review, but discussion. I'm trying to move along here. So the preventing of criticism of a ruler, government officials, religion, or religious leaders. So, if you make a video bad-mouthing Jesus, technically they can block that from any of the Christians who will be offended by you bad-mouthing Jesus. If you make a video where you're bad-mouthing Buddha, Rama, Pashto, or not Pashto, because Pashto's a, anyway, Rama, Buddha, Shiva, I knew there was a fucking other one, Muhammad, any religious type of person. If you make fun of the Pope and say that the Pope looks ridiculous, they can block it on a YouTube video. If you decide to go all out and say that Donald Trump is Satan and needs to be avoided at all points, technically they can block that if they really wanted to. If you're going to criticize fucking Kim Jong-un, you know what I mean? Like, again, I try not to offend people, but when it comes right down to it, there are people who just, I feel like they need comedy in their life. Like, they take things too seriously. Like, Vladimir Putin, for one example. Putin seems like he actually could be a cool dude. Like, I'm not saying that I want to be buddies with him or nothing. I'm just saying, at the end of the day, he seems like he could be a cool dude. But the problem is the way that he runs his country, he runs it so seriously, it's like the guy doesn't take time to laugh. If you can't find time to laugh at yourself, or just laugh in general, something is wrong with you. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, going out of your way to laugh at the misfortune of others, unless it's a comedian talking about their own misfortune. Like, if I talk about the fact that I'm a fat guy with a tiny cock and you all go, ha, that's funny! Cool. So be it. God bless. Have fun. And mind you, I'm a deist. Which, for those of you who don't understand what deism is, essentially I believe that God exists, but God really has no influence here on Earth. But then again, that's my philosophy when it comes down to it. If you want to talk my practicing religion, technically I practice Wicca, but that's a whole different kettle of fish when it comes right down to it, which is kind of funny. Technically, I could have said a cauldron of fish. Witch humor. Anyway. Technically, at this point, with me being a dude, warlock humor, but now we're just splitting hairs. Ha ha! Magic! I'm letting the awkward silence just sink in. Just go with it. When it comes down to violations of national laws, like copyrights, hate speech, and anything of national security. So, if WikiLeaks would have been released as a YouTube video, if the Sony hack would have been released as... Well, no, because technically the Sony hack isn't national security. Somebody hacks the Pentagon and releases... and releases the specs to one of the new tanks that they're rolling out. And the tank happens to carry ICBMs of a nuclear pay grade, and these happen to be mobile tanks that have aquatic features because I happen to be looking at Metal Gear. So we're talking about a Metal Gear. America has a Metal Gear. It's bullshit, but just go with the fucking example. Somebody hacks into the CIA and the Pentagon, and they happen to release the fact that America has a Metal Gear capable of launching a nuke at any country at any point in time from anywhere in the sea and blowing up that country, and there's no Solid Snake to get out there and plant C4 on the right leg, the left leg, the left leg, the right leg, the right leg, the left leg, the right leg, the right leg, the left leg, the right leg, the left leg, the left leg, the left leg, and then the right leg to blow it up. At least I think that's the order. I know the last four are correct because you have to go left, 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 right to plant the C4. Or he runs out of C4 and gets blown up by the Metal Gear. I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, something happens and nobody can stop the Metal Gear. Technically, that is a national security risk. Not just for our country, but for every other country. Because since every other country will know that we have a Metal Gear, they'll start lobbing nukes at us. Because every other country will know that we have a Metal Gear... Or no, because we know that we have a Metal Gear before we can tell other countries that we're planning on blowing up Canada. I don't know why, it was just the first fucking country that came to mind, especially the least likely to actually pick a fight with anybody. Because Canadians are way too fucking nice. Although they did pick a fight with ISIS, which means you've got to be on somebody's shit list for Canada to get pissed off at you. Technically, ISIS is. But again, hate speech. You know what I mean? You're pulling the Donald Trump and saying that all Mexicans are rapists and murderers. And you start talking shit about Korea. You start saying that we're going to, you know, blow up Russia. We're going to nuke the Middle East, fuck Europe, the Queen can eat a dick, I don't know, because he's bad-mouthing women, and she's the first woman of importance that came to mind. My apologies to all other female dictators out there. Well, not so much dictators, but all other female leaders of the world. My apologies, I'm a stupid American, what do you expect? My schooling sucked, even though I graduated from high school. I did wash out from college, though. But that was my own bullshit. I kept getting fucking pneumonia because I didn't have a license and couldn't drive. And waiting for the bus in the winter sucks. Anyway, moving along. They can prevent access of videos to minors. Duh. People put shit out there where they cuss heavily and they go out of the way to show sexual content. 9 times out of 10 in a humorous manner. But... There's still some woman shaking her boobies and walking around with a low-cut top and half of her tits hanging out. And, you know, a dude walking around wearing, like, shorts with his pecs all hanging out and, like, his dick's all, like, hanging out the bottom of his shorts or some shit. I can only speak from a straight male's point of view when it comes down to sexuality. And what can I say? Big boobs and a nice butt. I'm happy. But then again, I'm a typical guy. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Reducing distractions at work or school. So, literally, if your school or your place of employment actually has internet set up at your business, which most of them do. I don't know why any of them wouldn't, unless it's something like a gas station or something where you don't really need to have an open Wi-Fi connection for everybody to use. But again, even then, most businesses, because shit, at the gas station that I fucking worked at, we still had an internet connection so we could send shit to the main office and send emails and stuff of, like, all the different product orders and shit that we've gotten to all the other locations that the head office owned. But literally, your corporation can set it up where, in your school, where if you type something in into, like, Google or something, YouTube will not show up. Now, most places go out of their way to actually block YouTube by setting up a restriction for it, different stupid shit like that, where they go by a computer, they go off a computer-to-computer basis because they know that, like, the teachers are going to need to YouTube sometimes to dig up informational stuff, informational videos. Like, I had a science teacher in grade school, actually, who used to use Bill Nye the Science Guy, actually, to try to help teach us some of our lessons in science class. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes he'd bring in the actual VHS video, and other times, if the computer lab happened to be open, we'd go down to the computer lab and actually look the shit up on the internet. You know what I mean? Because they would actually have the stuff up and running from off PBS where you could just watch it. So, more power to them. And then the last one is to reduce the amount of bandwidth used. So, essentially what that means is to make it so that way then YouTube isn't bogged down and all this shit is lagging and, you know, like 50 million people are trying to watch the new Game Grumps episode at the same time. In order to cut that back, they will reduce bandwidth, meaning they might block it where you're at. Now, not immediately, but essentially it's the same thing as like a streaming service like, God damn it, work brain. Netflix. Work brain. How can you not remember Netflix? 70-inch plasma screen TV with Netflix. But yeah, most streaming sites will actually reduce your bandwidth if they're being bogged down with, like, a new episode. Like, let's say the new Daredevil comes out tomorrow, and everybody and the brother tries to watch it at the exact same time as it comes up on Netflix. They can literally bog down your machine on purpose so that way then the load times aren't as good, simply so that way then you... It's like being in a queue for an MMO. They put you in a screen, they say that all the, you know, all the worlds are kind of full, we're having troubles connecting to the server, and that's because there's a lot of people on. At the same time, they're constantly booting people for actually not doing anything, like my game keeps trying to do. It's like, oh, you're not actually playing this game right now. We're going to shut off your PlayStation because we think you're asleep to try to help you save power. Appreciated. But I'm actually talking to the peoples of the world right now, and we're fastly approaching that 2-hour mark, so I apologize. So again, why even go through all of this? Because that's the end of the notes. So thank the gods and the goddesses and the nothings for all of my atheist brethren out there. Oh man, that feels so good. Shit, I missed the garbage. Anyway, I'll pick that up in a minute. Like I said, why even do this? Well, because when it comes right down to it, the original intention of this video... And my apologies, I'm going to need a drink, so I have to get up. So I'm going to get on the move, so I'm not sure about audio quality. Ow. Fuck, I forgot how much beanbag chairs suck. Like I said, I just moved into a new place. I have no furniture of my own other than a bed and a computer and shit like that. Sorry. Most of my money went in towards, well, trying to make our shows a lot better. By buying up microphones, wires, soundboard, and different shit like that. Because I kind of have faith in our company. Even though we're not a legit company, we're just a group of jackasses sitting around talking at phones and yelling into microphones in Bill's living room. But again, why even bring it up? Well, like I said before, we're moving away from YouTube because of their copyright claims. YouTube legitimately had a copyright claim against, what was it? It was Eidos. They had a copyright claim against Eidos the American headquarters of Eidos had released a video for one of the new games coming out, and I can't think of what it is. That's the part that's tripping me up. But anyway, they had released a new game. Well, the Brazilian portion of Eidos, Far Cry. It was motherfucking Far Cry 4. Because it was done by Eidos Montreal, if I remember correctly. But it was essentially done mostly in the, released mostly in the mainstay American headquarters. Eidos of America, their YouTube channel, had a copyright claim against it from the Brazilian or the Japanese office of Eidos. A company had a copyright claim against itself on YouTube. Why? Well, YouTube is a big company. And most big companies have the same mentality. Less workers to actually do a large job. You get less workers to do more work for the big job. And how do they solve that problem? Added technology. Well, how do you add technology to something that's basically been created and run through technology? Like my cell phone that I'm currently holding, or my computer sitting in front of me, or my PS4 if I had internet and could actually get onto it for both the computer and the PlayStation. Because I have to use my 4G to get to fucking YouTube off my phone. Unless I stop by my dad's or Bill's or Scotty's where they have internet, but regardless. How do you get all that to work properly with the technological limitations put upon it? Oh, good. I thought I was out of water in my water jug. What they do is they create programs known as bots. Now, what do bots do? Bots will automatically do the work for you. Bots will go out of their way. Ugh, sorry. Whew. Didn't realize how much of a drink I actually needed. Holy crap, I feel 1,000 times better now. The bots will go out of their way to actually look for anything that should have a copyright claim against it. If you did not list it as any of the examples I gave earlier, like parody, research material, archiving, anything like that, if you did not put that in your tags, if you did not say, I do not own this media, it is merely a satirical parody. I do not own this media. It is merely for archiving purposes of said material for future generational usage. You know, anything along those lines. If you basically didn't go out of your way to say, look, I don't own this shit. I'm putting it up so others can enjoy it. The bots will go out of their way, put a tag stating marked. Now, the first time that it's marked, you can't monetize that video. Meaning, if you get so many hits on it and you're partnered with YouTube, you get no money. YouTube will not pay you for, quote, creating content just because you decided to post a video of the Resident Evil logo while you can hear the sounds of somebody stroking their dick to it behind it. Illegal. Not only from a moral standpoint, because children will see that and technically now you're a pedophile, but at the same time because you don't own that image. You don't own an eyeball glaring through a small hole with Resident Evil and the registration mark behind the L with it saying load game, new game, optional, manual, kind of, what's the word, faded, you know, copyright, Comco Corporation Limited, 1996 to 2014, all rights reserved. Okay? You don't own any of that. Capcom does. Capcom can put a claim on you. Sorry. Last one in the night, I swear. Nintendo has been doing it heavily. Anybody who talks about Nintendo, in fact, it happened to us when we were Reploid Productions. That's another reason why we had to stop Reploid Productions and become Fandom Night. We had 4 or 5 different claims against us from Nintendo, where one of them got resolved. The problem came down to a matter of when editing the video, we had put essentially the teaser trailer for Mega Man is showing up in Smash Brothers, yeah, at the very start of the video, before we cut to myself, Nick, Shane, and Bill staring at a camera and talking about how sweet it's going to be for Mega Man to show up. Because we were riding the hype train, being like, fuck yeah, Mega Man. Excuse me. Especially seeing as how most of Mega Man was on Nintendo. The only thing that wasn't was X, and technically X doesn't really count. Mega Man is Mega Man. And technically Mega Man almost should have been a fucking Nintendo property when you think about it. Because like I said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 all came out on Nintendo. Nothing else. 8 finally went to Sony PlayStation, which is the only reason why it doesn't count. It's because 8 was on PlayStation. The X games, you get 1, 2, and I do believe 3 for the X games. And I don't mean the BMX X games, I mean Mega Man X. You get up to Mega Man X3 on the Super Nintendo, and then it jumps over to PlayStation. So, again, we were like, yay, Mega Man, back on Nintendo, fuck yeah. And they put a claim against us. We did a review of the add-on NES controllers. Like, we didn't talk the Power Glove, because we don't own a Power Glove, because fuck the Power Glove, it's bad. And I'm quoting James Rolfe here. Fuck yeah, angry video game nerd for the win. Anyway. We talked about the regular NES controller, the NES Max, and the NES Advantage. And it gets, like, it was literally a 20-minute review where they were talking about how the controllers feel, how you think that the controller should function, like, just general purpose, like, what's the point in these other controllers? Like, is there extra features like turbo buttons, you know, which the other two do, not the original NES. How does the D-pad feel? You know, how does it feel like it would control? Shit like that. And they stopped the video, like, a third of the way through, and they were like, nope, you're done. You're done. You're done with this video. No more. And we're not sure if it's because we badmouthed some of the controllers, or if they were just like, oh, well, Nintendo's in the title. Shit can it. We also had a few other copyright claims against stuff. And to my knowledge, I have no idea what they are. I know those two for a fact, because Bill's brought them up to us, but at the same time, he's also told us some of the others. But again, Reploid Productions died like 2 years ago. We've been Fandom Night for about 2 years, for anybody who's new to the show. Well, shows, because we were trying to run them as one. That's the reason for the change and shift of the podcast format, because technically now Fandom Night is the podcast network, much like Smodco is the podcast network for Kevin Smith, much like how Nerdist is the podcast network for anything that Chris Hardwick and his friends do. Just like Geek and Sundry is the network for anything done by Felicia Day and, God damn it, I'm going to feel stupid now, Will Wheaton, God damn it, how can I forget about the King of the Nerds? Well, technically him and Hardwick have a back and forth between being the King of the Nerds, but seeing as how they're best friends, they just kind of, I'm not the king, you're the king. I ain't the king, you're the king. Fuck that. And then, of course, Elvis shows up. Oh, I'm the king, baby. Oh, wait, that was Johnny Bravo. Excuse me. Just saying. But, like I said, when it comes right down to it, like, we had to get away from that. Because not only were we not getting views on it, but at the same time, we were getting copyright claims against it. We can't talk Mike Tyson's Punch-Out if when we post Mike Tyson's Punch-Out for the video game section, they decide to copyright claim it and pull the video. We can't discuss our favorite Nintendo systems if, because Nintendo is in the title, they copyright claim it and pull it. We can't talk Final Fantasy if, when we're trying to talk Final Fantasy, they put a copyright against it and they pull it. Same with Dragon Ball Z. Same with Bleach. Same with Marvel. Same with DC. Same with Spawn. Same with fucking Oreo cookies, because it's the first thing I noticed, because I'm digging through my cabinets right now, because I'm kind of hungry. Like, literally, anything and everything under the sun can quite literally just tell you to go screw yourself. Because the bots can't tell the difference, because they didn't program it into the system of whether or not it actually is a copyright claim. Now again, Team Four Star makes no money off of YouTube from their Abridged series. They do, however, have a Let's Play channel, which they can make money off of because it's a Let's Play. They can also make money through whoring out their different ideals, and yes, I do mean whoring it out, because unfortunately that's kind of how it works when you're selling, like, you know, different merchandise. Technically, merchandising is whoring out yourself. Kind of like when we braked for contact information, we're whoring out our website so you guys will go and see all the hard work we've put into it. And yes, I say we, because technically I designed the original website and the disembodied voice has been redesigning it and making it look better. Because again, I have no internet and I'm a lazy asshole. I'll admit it. In fact, I think I've admitted it several times, but that's just because I can't apologize enough for not helping. Especially when I'm trying to help out with the doing this as much as possible. Just for the simple fact of, I want this to be more than a hobby. Like, not to bullshit anybody, but I want to be able to do podcasting, not so much as a living, but I'd rather be able to do it more often than not. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather be able to just find, like, a part-time job to actually help pay the bills and be able to sit around and hang out with my friends all day. I mean, that's what we all want out of life, is we want to be able to hang out with friends and family as often as possible. Now, again, the copyright claim problem was so terrible that Doug Walker, who's better known as the Nostalgia Critic, actually started a hashtag called WTF, and no, not what the fuck, but where's the fair use? Or excuse me, WTFU. Yeah, sorry. Because technically hashtag WTF is Mark Maron's podcast. Shout out to Maron. Even though, oddly enough, I haven't listened to any of his podcasts in a while, but I think that's because he stopped having on guests that I really wanted to listen to. Same with Nerdist, even though I love their stuff. Like, I haven't had guests on in a while that I want to listen to. But again, that's personal problems. Like I was saying, Doug Walker started the hashtag WTFU, where's the fair use? Because YouTube literally was just pulling his videos. Same thing happened to Team Four Star. They kept getting hit with copyright claims, even though all of the guys over at Funimation know the guys at Team Four Star. Like, personally, they hire all of them. They hire fucking Nick, a.k.a. Lanny Pator. They fucking hire Curtis, a.k.a. Takahata 101. You know, they hire fucking all of them. All of them. Everybody who works for Team Four Star and helps do any of the voices, they're friends with actual voice actors, because the guys at Team Four Star are voice actors. They've actually been paid recently to appear in different animes. doing dubs for different characters. Or not, yeah, doing the dubs for different characters. They've appeared in video games. In fact, one of the most notable ones is from Team Four Star. They had the Nappa voice that Takahata 101 does as one of the characters you can use in Dragon Ball Xenoverse. If you make a creatable character, you can make his voice be Taka. So you can have yourself a Ghost Nappa, yeah! Come on! Check it out, Vegeta! Literally, that's exactly what it is. Sorry. Finishing off that one, and last smoke of the night for you guys. Now, at the same time, all of that literally sparked me to get off my ass and do up all the research for this. And again, I've had this done now for about a month and a half, almost 2 months. I think I said for a month, but no, I've been living here in my new apartment for about a month. So, why did I finally decide to get off my ass? Comes down to something that Markiplier said, actually. Markiplier had released a video a while back where what he had stated was that, damn it, when it comes right down to it, the where's the fair use thing isn't about fair use. Now, he didn't point it out personally. I'm merely interjecting my own opinions here. So my apologies if I offend anybody here. I'm not trying to. My apologies if I speak out of place and make mention of things that I shouldn't be mentioning. But when it comes right down to it, Doug Walker is one of those people who makes money off of YouTube. And technically, his where's the fair use thing isn't so much about him being able to, like, make the reviews that people love as the nostalgia critic. It comes down to money. Same thing with Game Grumps. Game Grumps doesn't want copyright claims against them, because if there's a copyright claim against their video, they can't make money. And Game Grumps has grown to a point where they have literally sold one of their shows to a major TV network. Well, not a major TV network. They sold it to a TV network. The TV network got bought out by another major network. And they pretty much cut ties with it because the new network was coming in and essentially pulling a bunch of bullshit where they were like, look, for the amount of content you're making, you're not going to be making as much money. We're going to force you to make more content on an exact schedule, not just whenever you guys get it done. So like once a week or once every couple weeks or whatever. Excuse me. We're purposely going to make you go out of your way to make 3 or 4 videos professionally done, which they already do it professionally. We're going to make you do, you know, 3 or 4 videos per week. And once you've made X amount of videos, that's your season. You guys can take a hiatus to write more, you know, write down more scripts or whatever. And then after you write down more scripts or whatever, then you can come back and make more. By the way, you're not allowed to just randomly have your friends on. There will be a full cast. There will be a full crew. We must vet everybody, anybody we don't, you know, deem necessary. We're firing. Anybody that you try to hire on must go through us and the normal corporate bullshit when it comes to making a show or, you know, movie or anything of that nature. And they said, we're not having it. We want to be able to hire our friends. We want to be able to have our friends on the show. We want to be able to do what we want to be able to do. That was the whole point. They moved back to YouTube. And I don't blame them, but again, it's because of money. Markiplier even mentioned it himself. He is attempting to become a stand-up comedian, but he's making his living by making videos for YouTube. He makes like 3 Let's Plays. Okay, he makes enough videos that 3 Let's Plays can go up per day. Now, at the time, we would literally, when we were doing our stuff for YouTube, we would get together and we would crank out enough episodes to last for 2 weeks. Everybody who watches the Super Sentai or listens to it, they know this fact. We've pointed it out several times now. We get together every other Saturday and we record as many episodes as we feel like recording now. We guaranteed knock out 2 Super Sentais for all of our Super Sentai fans. Scotty and I will get together whenever we feel like it, and we'll knock out as many wrestling episodes as we feel like it. Bill will get the guys together via Skype call, which me and Scotty have done several times in the past. or if not via Skype call, he'll try to get everybody together after work, anybody who can be there, and they'll do Pages of Fandom. And they try to get at least one episode done every couple weeks. The Super Sentai, we get together on Saturdays, we record two. Guaranteed, at least two episodes. No more, no less. And the reason for it is so that way then we can cover the YouTube, pumping those out, every Wednesday for you guys. Anytime that we have a chance to sit down and bullshit about random stuff while we're waiting for Nick or Shane or Jeremy to show up, you know, anybody who needs to be there for an episode or two, we'll sit down, we'll turn on the mics, and we'll bullshit for a What's Up, or we'll just talk a random topic for What's Up Fandom Night. Like, that's just how we do things now. And again, most of that comes down to YouTube, because like I said, we would go out of our way to make sure that we had two episodes of everything ready to go for the YouTube channel. Excuse me. Oh. Whew. Nice ice cold water always hits the spot. Anyway. So, when it comes right down to it, everybody's bitching about YouTube's bots. One, for the inconvenience to the fans, and two, for the inconvenience to the people that are making these videos who just want the money from them. And again, I'm not gonna bitch and complain about that. I understand it. You have to get money as an incentive to be able to continue to do what it is you're doing. Like I said, Markiplier wants to be a stand-up comedian. So while he's going out and taking his classes to try to become a stand-up comedian, he needs money to pay his bills. As a fan, we all sit and watch his videos. Well, anybody who is a fan like myself, we all sit and we watch his videos. We get the view count up. He gets his check in the mail from YouTube. He can cash that in, and he can turn around and buy groceries, pay his rent, put gas in his car, feed his dogs, and anything else along those lines. And really, that at the end of the day, and I apologize if some of this sounds weird, phone's been going off and it's shit that I have to deal with, and then at the same time the roommate's cat's kind of been going apeshit bananas, because she just doesn't like being left alone, and unfortunately I can't have her up in my face distracting me any more than I already am. Because I have the ADD, and that's not good. But, like I said, when it comes right down to it, everybody needs money in order to pay their bills, buy their food, put gas in their car, and pretty much just be able to live a normal life. Or at least what we perceive to be normal. Because again, for other people in other places, normal is completely different from what we think. It could be better, it could be worse from what we assume. 9 times out of 10, it's worse, but in some places it actually is better. So, it's one of those things where I agree with Mark. Like, I get it. People want to be able to make their content and get paid for it. So that way then they have revenue coming in so they can afford to live. But at the same time, to bitch just to bitch because you're not getting paid to do something, that's almost as slimy as being an asshat who's simply blocking things just for the sake of they don't want all their money to go away. And that's the problem. YouTube is a corporation that makes money. As soon as money gets involved, all bets are off. Like, think of the person that you love the most. Your mother, your father, your grandmother, your grandfather, your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your significant other, your best friend. Everything could crumble in an instant because of money. That's what happened to me. My ex kept bitching about my spending habits. My ex kept bitching at me, telling me that I don't make enough money to support me, her, and her child. When, technically speaking, and this is me interjecting my own personal opinions, technically I wasn't making enough money to support her and her child. I could have gone and jumped off a cliff as long as I'm sitting at work making money so that way then she didn't have to do a fucking thing and somebody else could pretty much do everything for her. Somebody else could clean up after her. Somebody else could watch her child for her. She essentially wanted somebody who can make $1 billion a day and be a stay-at-home dad to her child. So that way then she could go off and do whatever the fuck she felt like. But at the same time, I got unlucky and I got with one of those types of women. I mean, technically I should have listened to everybody around me when they said she's no good, but I figured most of them were just being haters and jealous because, you know, they had nobody in their lives. But that's the problem with hindsight. Now that my interjection's out of the way, let me go back to the point. Everything can crumble at an instant because of money. Your best friend can become your worst enemy if both of you are fighting over money. I've seen it happen before. That's the reason why when it comes to money, anytime I put money on a table, I don't expect it back. Not from being a good person, even though I know I am. You know, I lend people money all the time. I really do. Me and Scotty will hang out. I'll be like, man, I'm hungry. He'll go, yeah, me too. My funds are a little tight. And I'll go, you know what, dude? I got lunch. Don't worry about it. I'm not expecting him to pay me back. I'm not expecting him to get me back for food. I'm not expecting anything out of him. I'll help Nick out all the time. I've given Nick money before. In fact, technically, if I were to add up all of Nick's debt to me, Nick would be about anywhere between $1,500 and $2,000 in debt to me. But I know not to expect it back. It's just the way it is. Like, no offense to Nick, I'm not saying anything bad about him. I'm just saying, I know not to expect anything coming from me. At the same time, Bill has helped me out before in the past. I've had no money, paid all my bills and everything, we've hung out. Hey, let's go eat. Cool, where are we going to eat? Somewhere expensive. Shit! Don't worry, dude, I got you for lunch. Thank you, man, thank you. Type of thing. Because he knows that I would do the exact same thing for him. Shane does the same thing. Shane has bought me lunch multiple times in the past. Shane has lent me money before in the past. Because it came down to there was one night on a Thursday, my car broke down, and the part I needed was more money than I had in my bank account at the time. I got my paycheck Friday, after he'd lent me the money and I got my car fixed, I paid him back. Because Shane don't fuck around with money. Shane's almost worse than I am when it comes to loaning out money. And I say almost, but technically he is. The only reason it's almost is because Shane will lend you money, but he will hound your ass until you pay him back. Again, I don't expect to see any money back. Back in the days when I used to backyard wrestle, I purposely threw in $400 for an $800 wrestling ring that I got in and dicked around in like 6 or 7 times. When everything was said and done, and everybody was done with the ring, and I wasn't using it anymore, and neither was anybody else, I didn't go, hey, fuckers, cough up the $400 I put into that ring. I just knew I wasn't going to see it again. I was like, whatever, that was fun. I got some fun and enjoyment out of it. I got to learn a couple things I didn't know before. I basically have some stuntman, you know, capabilities under my belt if, you know, need be. If something were to come up where somehow we end up doing a skit or something and they need somebody to fall down dead, which if you go back to Reploid Productions, there actually was a skit where I had Shane stomp my face in. First, he threw my boot at me, and it hit me in the face and the ear, which hurt like a sumbitch. And then I took what's referred to as a face bump, meaning I fell face first onto the concrete floor, which was no fun, but I knew how to do it without hurting myself too badly. And then I taught Shane how to fake stomp a person out like you would see in wrestling. Because, again, even as a wrestling fan, I know that shit is fake. So, like I said, when it comes right down to it, I get it. People want their money. At the same time, simply going out of their way to be assholes and claim fair use justice for all just so they can get their money, it's kind of douchey. When it comes right down to it, I would much rather people like Markiplier be able to use fair use. I want Team 4-Star to be able to use fair use. I would love for us to be able to use fair use to its full extent. Simply for the fact of, even though, yes, we are kind of in it for the money, we're not doing it in a douchey way like, I need this money to live. No. Most of us all have actual jobs. Most of us have actual income coming in. Even though Markiplier's income is based off of YouTube, you know, he still has backup plans in case shit goes south and he no longer is making money off of YouTube. All of us have backup plans here at Fandom Night. We all work. We make no money off the podcasts that we produce. Team Four Star. They have money coming in from a Patreon account. They have money coming in from the gaming channel. And they have money coming in from their merchandising sales. Showing up at the different cons. Slinging t-shirts. Selling coffee mugs. They have income coming in. But I would rather them be able to produce something that is enjoyable, that they don't care about getting paid for. They go out of their way to make sure that they're getting paid from other sources to continue doing something that they love. And that right there is the entire purpose of this. So long as you are doing something that you love and enjoy, or you're trying to help others enjoy or understand why you love and enjoy the things that you do, or if you're trying to educate them so that way then there's not an entire country full of morons about to elect a bigger moron, like in the movie Idiocracy, because I'm not naming any names here. But if we start moving towards the movie Idiocracy, that's not good. But if we can educate people, that's better. We don't have to worry about morons putting morons in charge. We don't have to worry about dumbasses becoming even dumber. We don't have to worry about the idiots of the world being in charge. We can get smart people in charge again through education, even if it is just self-education. We can also help by making sure that there's not as much bullshit facts out there on the face of this planet as there are. Now, I know I'm not helping the situation through this 2-hour and 15-minute video, or, well, audio recording. And yes, I said 2:15 at the 2:12 mark, but I'm just wrapping up here. Excuse me. And that usually takes a while, because I don't do that very often. Ha-ha! Terrible sex life joke. But, like I said, when it comes right down to it, I would rather people who want to educate people be able to help educate people. When it comes down to making content that people love, not just the fans, but the people producing it, they tell you that you will work jobs all your life, and jobs will suck. But if you find a career is something that you will actually enjoy. A career is something that you will show up to every day happy. You will show up to work happy. You will leave work happy. Because it's a career. It is something that you enjoy doing. For some people, they enjoy making videos. For other people, they enjoy selling gas and cigarettes. Because believe me, I loved working at the gas station. It was third shift, so it made my fucking social life suck dick. But the regulars that I had down there at the gas station were so fucking awesome and cool that we would sit around and we would all bullshit and just talk random stuff so much that we would all learn stuff every single day. And that's the best part of getting up in the morning and living, especially when you're somebody like me with depression and all you want to do is take a knife and slit your throat. And I don't mean to get dark here, but seriously, any day that I want to wake up and get out of bed and go do something is a great day for me. Working as a janitor, it's okay because I can do my own shit. But then at the end of the day, I'm pretty much by myself all day, every day. It's not good for me. Whereas at the gas station, I always had people coming in. And don't get me wrong, 50% of them would piss me off. But the other 50% were amazing. And I loved showing up to that job. Much like how there's people who love going out of their way to get paid to get naked in front of other people. Yeah. I'm talking strippers and porn stars. They enjoy getting naked in front of people, going out of their way to do it. They get paid decent amounts for it. It's something simple and something they enjoy doing. Because it's either empowering to them, or it's helped them get over fears. Aside with helping them pay car payments and house payments and feeding children and feeding themselves and clothing themselves, which is weird, you know, talking about being able to have clothes on a stripper or porn star, but meh, I'm just saying. Some people want to be firemen. They're happy being a fireman. Some people want to be police officers. They are the happiest when they are a police officer. They feel like they're helping the community. Well, some of them do. Actually, I take that back. Even the ones that are douchebags and shoot people for no reason in the face, they still feel like they're helping the community, and that puts a smile on their face. Even when they're technically not helping the community, they're hurting it. And even though most of the time whenever we see a cop or a fireman, we know bad things have happened. Whether it's to us or others, but still. There's a job out there for everybody. There's a career out there for everybody. And if you enjoy doing what you're doing, I feel like you should be able to do it. All day, every day, as much as you want, whenever you want. And you should be able to do it with no restrictions. Especially if it means that whatever you're doing, you can do better. But we kind of don't have that right now with the way that the bots on YouTube are acting, where they're purposely going out of their way just to be stingy assholes. Like, the computer is literally telling us what we can and cannot watch because a multi-billion dollar company is worried about their dicks getting chopped off. Because technically, when it comes right down to it, the amount of money you have is another means of compensating for having a tiny cock. Some people go out of their way to buy expensive cars and get big trucks and have giant lavish homes. Peacocking, essentially, so that way then you don't look at the fact that they have a tiny cock and balls. Whereas, I would be the first person to admit that I got a tiny dick. I ain't worried about it. You know why? Because I don't give a fuck. I'm happy being me. Even though, like I said, I have depression and that's technically a lie on most days, but technically, I really wouldn't trade it for the world, either. Well, unless I was trading my life for the ability for all of us over here at Fandom Night to be able to hang out with you fans and continue doing what we do, but again, I'm getting off topic and rambled for too long, so I'll let you guys go. Here's Bill with the outro telling you, well, same thing he told you at the top of the show. How to get a hold of us, different stuff like that. And if you're still awake through this, definitely shoot me an email, because I want to give you a high five. And no, I don't mean I'm going to smoke some weed and then give you a $5 bill, even though that would be probably pretty cool for all of you out there to enjoy a $5 bill for free for sitting through all this. But regardless, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to turn it over to Bill.
Hey guys, did you like that podcast? If so, remember to check out FandomNight.com. At FandomNight.com, you can drop a line to this show, or you could check out other podcasts as well. We cover all kinds of topics, everything from comic books, wrestling, movies, TV shows, video games, animes, mangas. It's outrageous. We seem to have a podcast for just about everything, and you have access to it just by going over to FandomNight.com. So check it out, guys. We're going to get out of here.